Oh, I want to share with you just from the Word for a few minutes. It's a very precious Word, and I want to share it with you just simply. I don't want to preach this, I want to just share it. A few years ago, not very many, a young man came into our house, or it must have been 25 years ago, I suppose. That's not many nowadays. And he came into our house, and he was doing the work in a church that was much larger than this, that Jamba does. But it was an English church, and one doesn't get paid for those things, so he wasn't known as a staff person. He worked hard amongst the young people, and all sorts of things took place. And during the time that he was with those young people, several got right with the Lord Jesus. Billy Graham came to England at that time, and he was taking hordes of young people to hear Billy Graham. And dozens and dozens, hundreds, I suppose, of people got converted. There was one young lady that was under his area of jurisdiction that he thought was rather wonderful. And she was quite a character one way and another, as fiercely independent as you've ever known a woman. I really don't know about her parentage or where her parents lived. All I know is that she turned up in the church and the youth director fell in love. Oh. Did he ever fall? But she was so fiercely independent, she wasn't sure that she wanted to marry, wanted to be in love. There were too many things to discover, too much of the world to see, and so she traveled. She went to Australia. Now, when you live in England and somebody goes to Australia, that's about as far away as you can get. Next step is heaven. And this fellow who had flown the fastest aeroplanes that were then in the world during the war, Second World War, not the first, for those of you who are going to be humorous about that. And he decided to go to Australia, but she didn't want to get married. She wanted to go somewhere else, and she wasn't sure that she wanted to get near to him, but he cast in his time with the young people in that church, and off he went. And she went to Canada, and he went back to England. And then he went to Canada to find her, and she went from one side of Canada to the middle of Canada, and he went with her, or at least he chased after her, and then she ended up in Vancouver, British Columbia. Today she's the editor of a couple of magazines. She's a writer of this, that, and the other, mostly about computer sciences, and has done very well for herself. In 1970, we were living in Tacoma, and I got a phone call from this fellow. He said, "Would you be my best man?" "Aha," I teased. "You made it after all these years." He was my senior by several years. And so I was best man at a very lovely wedding in Vancouver. On Friday last, we got the message, or Thursday rather, we got the message that he had died, and the funeral was Friday. So Renee left here for Vancouver on Friday morning. Our eldest daughter picked her up in Seattle, and they went to the funeral. He's Renee's cousin, but he was my friend, a very dear friend. And as I look back over those years, I kind of wonder how these words that we read together fit into the lives of all of us. Our lives are so small. They are so short. You know, we look at a 20-year-old that dies and we say, "Oh dear, what a shame, cut off in the prime of his life." The people talked of the Lord Jesus and they said he was cut off at 30 or 33 years old, whichever it was. He was cut off suddenly, and that was such a shame because he had such a life to live. But if you talk to a 60 or 70 or 80-year-old person, they don't think life's too long. And if death is staring at them, they suddenly start saying, "Whoops, life is so short. Where has it all gone? It's like a vapor. It's like a smoke that went up into the sky. What happened? Where did it all go?" And most people that are over, that are getting on, over 40, you'd like me to move that. 50? Like me to move it further? Over 60? You want me to move it further into 70? Whichever way you want to move that, all of us wonder, Why did we waste those years? Where did those years go to? What happened? Now look, come with me just for a minute into a little excursion into the precious Word of God. In the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says, I want you to understand from verse 24 that a person must not always accept what is so obvious in front of him. He must, in fact, be able to deny himself, to take up his cross, and then he must follow me. But Jesus doesn't say things without doing them, and he doesn't ask us to do things without giving us the ability that enables us. And so we have this picture. Then we come into the 17th chapter. After 6 days. 6 days prior, Jesus had said, you've got to learn to deny yourself. Let's imagine, if you had come home from an enormously long journey, and if your parents and your loved ones had come out and welcomed you and kissed you and all the things that people do, and if you were just longing to get a good shower and bath and change of clothes, but someone before you'd got that far came to the door and said, or the phone, on the telephone, they said, please, we need you now. Wouldn't you just go now? Or would you say, well, look, I've only just arrived from a long journey and my journey has exhausted me. I really can't come now. Because the truth is, I want to stay here. I want my shower. I want my bath. I want my clean clothes. And I want the attention of my loving family. I don't want to leave. That would be the truth. But because of the need of someone else, would you go? Now, that's a weak illustration, but it's an illustration of what happened. Jesus took Peter and James and John, and they went up a mountain, a high mountain. We call it Mount Transfiguration. And Jesus was transfigured. That is, his hair and face shone with the brightness of the sun. And the literal translation is that his clothes flashed with lightning. And the brilliance of lightning was in all of him. I would like to spend a lot of time telling you why. There isn't time now to tell you that, but that's what actually happened. And Jesus, because of what had been happening in his life, and because he had come from innocence to holiness and from holiness into perfection, Jesus now was ready to step into heaven. He was home. He was home. And if you can remember that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There had to be the remembrance that I was home. I was home. And now suddenly, I have to drink this cup, the very dregs I have to drink. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will, because I'm here, I did not come home. I am here because of your will. And we read that Jesus, if you come into this 17th chapter with me for a moment, Jesus turned his back on being home. Then from Gethsemane, we go to Golgotha. From Golgotha, we go to the place of burial, and from the place of burial to Galilee. He was really home. But he was on the threshold of going home. The significance of Moses and Elijah with him at this point, in this little sharing time, really doesn't matter for this moment. But I want to share with you what is terribly, terribly important. Understand, Jesus said, a person must learn to deny himself. He stepped back out of heaven. He stepped away from heaven. This is the second time. The first time he thought it not robbery to take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and to dwell amongst us, to be tempted in all ways like as we are, yet to be discovered without sin. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, stepped back from heaven's threshold. Isn't that remarkable? To deny himself. But listen to what he said. To take up my cross. It's got to be taken up. And I suppose the hardest thing any of us do is that we take up the cross of Jesus, and because he has said it the way he has said it, it is a deliberate action. We sometimes mock and we sometimes laugh and we sometimes make jokes about humility. Our biggest joke is, if you know you're humble, you lost it. Ho, ho, and we say, isn't that funny? Some people think they're so humble, and it's obvious they're not. Ho, ho, we laugh again. Yet the Bible says, if a man will humble himself, and anything I do to myself, I know I've done it. Let me be crude for a moment. Do you ever clip your toenails? Of course you do. And in the clipping round that large toe, there's a little piece that sometimes will grow in the end of your toe and you have to dig a little. It's called home surgery. If not, you end up going to some doctor hobbling and saying, please do some cutting for me. And sometimes when you go down into that quick, well, it's like Tiddlywink the barber who went to shave his father. The razor slipped and cut his lip, and that was Tiddlywink the barber. You slip and you gouge a piece of toe. Ooh, it hurts. Remember doing that, some of you? Of course, not all of you. But do you remember that? Do you remember you children? When you were young, parents grabbed a foot and held it by the ankle, round each toe. Do you remember that? Oh, they said, it doesn't really hurt when you screamed. It hurts. Clip, clip, clip. And the clippers went more and more. They got to the corners and they gouged in and they said, oh, it doesn't really hurt. Ho, ho, ho. Mind you, they didn't let you do it to them. Their parents. Do you remember that? When you do something to yourself, you know you've done it. Will you accept that without me going any further into that illustration, which can go on and be enormously humorous and we'll all hobble out of here? Do you remember that? Now, if you humble yourself, do you know you've done it? Have you humbled yourself? Do you know you've done it? Jesus said you must learn to deny yourself and you will know you have done it. When Jesus turned from the threshold of heaven and walked back down that mountain, he was walking directly right down and back. And he was walking back and down into Golgotha. He was walking down to a cross. He was walking down to a place where he would suffer, where he would die, where he would be buried, where he would rise again triumphant, victorious over all his foes. In other words, already he was victorious. Already God was opening the portals of heaven, and already he could walk across the threshold and back into heaven. But God so loved this world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would humble himself, whoever would deny himself, whoever would put himself beneath the love of Jesus and beneath the cross of Jesus, he would be saved. But you and I, we have to correspond and we have to respond to our Lord Jesus. And so I share with you in a loving way a story. Jesus stepped back. Our cousin is in heaven. He's in heaven. Rini is doing what she can do to minister some love and some comfort and some of the grace of our Lord Jesus to his wife. I'm glad they're there. Have you denied yourself recently? Invariably, we indulge ourselves. how wonderful our Lord is, who takes us aside and reminds us that he walked away from heaven's portal and he walked all the way back to Calvary because he loved us. Because he loved us. Because, dear, dear people, he loved. A last story and I'm through. Yesterday it was my very great joy and privilege with Catherine Griffin and others to fellowship with the OMF at the OMF conference at Redwood Christian Center. And it was so beautiful to listen to these people, but I knew some people that used to be in the China Inland Mission. OMF is now China Inland Mission. And with the older gentlemen and ladies, I was able to mention names and to watch their eyes come alight as they remembered some of those dear old saints that I sort of remember. Eric Little, I had had tea with in the 40s. Sometime, I don't remember exactly when, but obviously before he died. And if you saw the Chariots of Fire, it was about Eric Little. Now, our whole family were involved somehow with that work, started by Hudson Taylor. I'm sure you all know that. And I asked about one gentleman, and one older gentleman who was English and Australian. That is, he was born in England and went to Australia and had an awful English accent. And his name was Cyril. Ha! I felt really close to him. And we sat and talked for a little while. I said, do you remember so-and-so? His eyes burned with love. And he said, that man was so filled with the love of Jesus. So filled with the love of Christ. Dear people, if you denied yourself that the love of Jesus somehow may shine through, Let's pray together. Thank you ever so much, Lord, for this time. It's been special. Just so perfect to be quietly in your presence. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the violence and the simplicity, the beauty and the loveliness of your word. And we ask that you will take our hearts with your love and that you'll hold us tightly, that we may be able to say, dear Lord, I do deny myself. I do take up that cross and I do follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being very close to us, for never leaving us and never forsaking us, for always being close. Thank you, Lord. Bless now our fellowship together, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.